Well, hi again, everybody. We are live again on a Monday night at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. It's the Laker Hockey Show. Damon Witten's here. We've got Chris Sable from the Antlers with us, as we quite often do early in the show. And Chris, you usually have something you want to talk about that's going on at the Antlers. So the table's yours.
Well, we're making one last pitch for the Widow's Wednesday wine, free facials from Arbonne, and we're doing, barefoot wines, chicken dinner, free facial, bonding and bashing of beer and concert mate, all for $15.99. So you can come drown your sorrows here at the Antlers if you're inconsiderate mates off hunting. We're going to have a little event here tomorrow night from, or not tomorrow night, Wednesday night from 6 to 10.
Yeah, that's 2 days from now. Yep. I want to get that straight. Okay, when's it again? What's the time?
Wednesday, November 18th, 6 to 10. For wine, widows, and facials, Arbonne, hanging out here at the Antlers Wednesday night.
Yeah, it sounds good. And again, we want to hit on Thanksgiving too. You've got dinner down here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention next. The next thing coming up is we're having a buffet open up for Thanksgiving dinner from 2 to 6. We're going to have a buffet all day long. All you can eat, turkey dinner, stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy.
Sounds pretty
green
good.
Green beans, cranberries, the whole nine yards. Pumpkin pie, all homemade.
We should have done that today. All right. Well, Chris, thanks very much for stopping by and being a part of our show tonight. The Antlers does a great job. Been sponsoring us for a few years now with the Laker Hockey Show. And a few things to talk about tonight. Head coach Damon Witten's with us. I don't know that we have a player coming in tonight or not. It's tough to get players in because a lot of the guys have class on Monday night. That's been our problem the last couple of seasons. But a couple of tough losses, Damon. I know it was difficult for you guys. Really tough one to swallow on Saturday night. You're 30 seconds away from at least a tie and probably could have won that game several times. Wind up with 2-3-2 losses to the new Division One team, Arizona State.
Yeah, we might want to keep talking about Thanksgiving dinner and specials here at Antlers. And I'm not sure if you'll let me come down and get a facial and some wine because you kind of need it after a weekend like that. But no question. I mean, it's difficult. It hurts. It's a kick in the teeth. We said to lose a game like that late, and obviously, they're a new team, and you want to take advantage of that. And, we haven't been good at home beyond that Northern Michigan where we were so good. So we're obviously, and that was a Saturday, but home routine and itinerary is a little bit different with a Friday class schedule. We've talked a lot as a staff about finding a way to get that pregame skate in. We might have to go early in the morning. We have so many class conflicts on Friday that we don't run an ice session. And although we haven't started poorly, our starts have been good, but it just seems like we don't have that same edge throughout the 60 minutes or the 65 minutes. So, it's disappointing, but definitely a brutal weekend and a difficult weekend and, not the place you want to be in. And, I was looking at some of the scores from around the league and what happened, and Tom Serratore at Bemidji called their Saturday win. It was a must win. They talked about they lost seven in a row. And, so we're going to meet a Bemidji team that's in a little bit of a similar situation. They're coming off a win, feeling a little bit better, but, we're back to league play, and those WCHA points become huge. But we've got to pull it together and keep the kids on board, which they are. They did a good job. We had a good job today, but lots to talk about in the weekend with the disappointing results.
Go on the ice today at all?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We were out there, and a couple areas we wanted to work on was playing 200 feet. We thought not just on the game-winning goal, but in particular the game-winning goal, but a lot of our breakouts. We're turning some pucks over, but our four it's. We want our D to exit our zone cleanly, and they've got to do a better job. But our forwards also have to work back 200 feet to sprint to breakout options and breakout spots. Same thing on the game-winning goal in overtime. We'd have a forward that didn't sprint all the way back. He should have easily been there to shut it down. And especially realizing the desperation of the situation with under a minute to play. I mean, you do anything, it's game on. You put a guy through the wall, you break his stick, whatever. I mean, there's absolutely no rules at that point to save a goal or prevent a goal. And so we hit some of that. We also want to be a lot hungrier around the offensive net. So working a lot on getting more pucks to the net and then some intensity around the net. We call them goalie jams. I'm not sure we get any goalie jams per game, but some of the NHL coaches talk about you got to average 6 or 7 goalie jams per night to get a goal. And goaltending's so good and pucks are there. So we've got to find a way to create more desperation and passion around the net to get the job done around there.
Yeah, I think that's right on the money. We do not take, as you like to say, coaches say, take the goalie's eyes away. We're not real good at that. We do move the puck really well. All the goals we scored this past weekend were on the power play. Definitely some skill there. I did some checking today. Through 12 games in 2014, we had 19 total goals for 1.58 goals per game average. Right now, we have 24 goals through 12 games. That's exactly 2.00. So we're up, but up very marginally in goals for. That's the big shortcoming. Goals against, we're doing much better. We had allowed 43 last year through 12 games. That's 3.58 goals a game. And right now we've allowed 36, 2.94. So we've improved on our defensive end of things. We're not allowing as many goals, but we're barely scoring like 0.2 more than we did last year at this time.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, to me, our D has still been way too much. You know, I think there's games and you want to be, these are college athletes, so you'll want to be careful and delicate, but I'm pretty happy with our grade A chances. We're not giving up that much, and doesn't all fall on goaltending for sure. But you know what? But at the end of the night, just like we ask a guy, you line up across from a guy, you got to win your 50-50 battles, and goaltending is no different. You've got to look down to the other end of the ice and know that we won the goalie battle that night. Certainly Bowling Green, Gordy was tremendous that Friday night game. We stole the point out of there. But too often, we're not winning the goaltending battle enough, and it doesn't fall, again, just on our goaltenders. There's other breakdowns and turnovers and things that are going on. But that's a position that, it doesn't matter what level, NHL, college, junior hockey, wherever you're at, that position has to be on most nights in order to be successful. And, we need a little bit more out of that.
Yeah, when that position has been good this season, we've done well. We picked up a couple of points at Bowling Green, but we only scored two goals, one goal each game. Goaltending held us in there. That was not the case on these games at home, which is kind of hard to understand. We've lost four straight at home now and five overall if you count the under-18s game, and played one of our best games of the year at home when we beat Northern 4-0. So it's kind of like, what's going on here?
Yeah, and it's brutal because, like I said, we've had good crowds. We've got a great fan base here, and you want to reward their loyalty and their support. And so, it is. It's really frustrating, really tough. Again, we'll kind of examine all of that. And, getting back to your point, I think last year, as you mentioned, we were one of the lowest scoring teams in NCAA. And I don't think you can turn that around overnight, unfortunately. I mean, as much as you'd like to, and, there's some pieces in place to improve. And as you said, we are improved. Our power play is significantly improved at this point. But, that desperation 5-on-5 has to be better. We've got some guys that, want to overhandle it. They got to get used to the pace and how quickly you have to hit things off. And then once again, just that hunger around the net. I don't know how many posts we're going to hit before some of them go in, but again, was it late in the second period, the end of the power play? I think you'd kind of almost signed off already, but a second left on the clock, Gage Terrell attacks the seam, hits another post. I mean, you tie the game up, you have all the life momentum. We go back to the Huntsville Friday night where we had seven posts. Like it's almost comical. Diego has, the play late in the game where, I think McKay or Nenendahl funneled the puck over. Diego, he got a piece of it, went off the post, hit the goalie's leg. They reviewed it. We should have been on top of the goalie, jamming away and pushing everybody in the net. We weren't, but, at some point, this will turn around and it'll feel a little bit better, but right now it's certainly difficult.
Yeah, I think Gage Terrell, of all the Laker freshmen, he has been the most snake bitten around that net. He'll get great opportunities, and he creates a lot of those himself. He's a very good offensive player, but he hits more crossbars and posts than anybody. And another guy that's having a hard time finding that first goal is Anthony Nellis. I thought he played real well for you this past weekend. I think he had three assists in the two games. He only scored four goals, so he did his job. And he's another one. He gets chances in front, and he'll hit a goal post or shoot it wide from point blank. Eventually, those are going to start going in.
Well, you think so. I mean, he does have that ability. Hanke's had four or five posts. Holtz has had a few as well. So, and if you think back to the Huntsville series where Nellis had the great one-timer, but Guerrero made the save, he's going to learn that you have to elevate that puck and get it up. Goalies at this level can make that read and make that play. But we're hoping that first one comes and it kind of opens up the dams for him a little bit. Jake Cann's probably similar. He's had some grade A chances, made some really nice plays on the weekend. And part of that is learning at this level that you don't have as much time as you did at the last level. You know, there's going to be guys that are getting a stick on you or a hand on you, and they're bigger, stronger than you're used to. So, it does take a little bit to adjust to that. And, we're creating at a higher level, but the finishing certainly is not there right now.
Yeah, I thought it was a much more intense game and better played by Lake Superior overall on Saturday night than on Friday. And I know we made some changes in the lineup there. You reinserted Bryce Schmidt and Austin McKay, a couple of the seniors on Saturday night. I thought they played pretty well. That line, I think Bryce played really well in the middle of that line with Globke on the other side.
Well, he played hard for sure. I mean, his pace, his compete level, that's never really been the issue with Bryce. So, yeah, he was good in there. You know, if you go back to the Bowling Green, he got sick the one night and couldn't play. So that's kind of affected his spot a little bit. But I thought he played with a ton of pace. He played extremely hard. You know, he's another guy that had two or three chances in a high grade A soft spot area, mm-hmm. and didn't get the pucks to the net. So we want to make sure he's doing that. I thought Austin McKay went in and, especially early on, was very good, assertive. They had a, first 4 minutes, Alex Globke had a great pass from McKay, was in all the front, almost like the game winner, but we didn't finish, and Pashevitz, played well, give him credit. But yeah, I thought that line did a good job. They came out rated positively on the game, and, they're experienced guys, and that's what we need for them on a night in, night out basis.
Okay, you got work to do this week. You were on the ice today. You probably did some film session today in the dressing room as well. And you get ready now to play against Bemidji State. That's an old rivalry, goes way back. I think we're 3-3 with them since the WCHA experience here. But it'll be tough there because they won the other night 6-3, played very well. They got a player of the week victory there too. What's his name? Harms. Brendan Harms had 2 goals, 2 assists, offensive player of the week in the WCHA. They're always tough at home, too, and Tom's a good coach.
Well, I think they're tough anywhere. They're a very good skating team. They don't mess around. They kind of underhand, a little bit like Bowling Green. They'll rim the puck, they'll chip the puck, try to set up some foot races, and they can skate. As you mentioned, in their barn, they're pretty good. They were predicted to play – have a decent year this year, and they started off with a couple big wins out of conference, knocked off North Dakota, and then, for whatever reason, hit the skids. You look at Bitzer, his numbers aren't off the charts right now, but I think he's a heck of a goalie. He was one of my favorite goalies in junior hockey. I thought he was tremendous back then and a great pickup for them. You mentioned Harms, Corey Ward. They're not scoring a ton right now, similar to us, but they do have some guys with some track records who have done it. So, it's a big test. And the way they skate, we want to make sure we're ready to match their pace. And, we're coming off a good road trip to Bowling Green the way we played. And, hopefully that's the team we see and get. And we got to get this consistent effort from everybody, And that's been a little bit of frustration as well. Even to this weekend, we outchanced them both nights. We outshot them Saturday. Won special teams battle both nights. There's some things going on that are good, but then it feels like there's been some individual efforts. And a couple nights, Huntsville, and then Friday night, it was one player making, just really having an off night that cost your team, multiple goals. And, we've got to be better that way and be more limited in our defensive game.
What's the injury status right now with Scott Patterson and Eric Drapluck? Are they almost ready to play again?
I really don't want to get into individuals, but we were really down guys today. Usually we're running over 5 lines, and we're just at 4 lines today. So they're we are down some bodies right now, and there's some opportunity for some guys to step in and emerge. But we're down some bodies, and a little bit more adversity we'll kind of deal with and get through.
Are those the injuries at this point that occurred over the weekend?
There's some of those as well, and some fluke things in the dorms last night as well. So a little bit of everything right now. But you mentioned Patterson and Drapluck; they've been out for a little bit while longer. But we had a couple other issues happen this weekend. Yep.
And Jason Bird, that's already been announced. He's left the team. He's still in school. He'll finish the semester, and he's going to go play hockey at York University in Toronto in the second semester. Just a lack of playing time, and he decided, hey, I got to go and do something where I can play hockey.
Yeah, he makes a decision, and obviously you wish him well. It's obviously not a fun side. I recruited Jason Bird, and, there's some things about his game that we really like, and I think for a kid like that, the timing's probably not great. You wish you'd kind of stick it out and stick with it. You never know when your opportunity is going to come. You have Droplet's been out for a little while. It could have been his opportunity to get in there and you take advantage and play. But like you said, like most kids, you want to play. And it seems like these days, I think there's been 5 or 6 guys that have already left teams across the country already. And it doesn't take a whole long right now. And like I said, as a coach, as a parent, you want kids to stick it out and stay with it a little bit. We also understand he wants to play. And You know, wants to enjoy the game, so he's going to go back home to York University and you know, transfer there at Christmas, as you mentioned.
Yeah, Pete Spreddy got back into the lineup. I think that's his third game this season. It's kind of tough. He's a senior. He thought he'd be a regular part of the rotation, but there have been some good young guys who kind of kept him out of the lineup time to time. I thought he did okay for you on Saturday night.
You know what? He skates well. He skates well, and I think you notice that in the games. You know, again, talking about our zone exits, our breakouts, you know, we need to do a better job, both in our support from our forwards coming back, but also our defensemen. Managing the puck, making good decisions. You know, we kind of talk about a wheel mindset. We want to go back and wheel the net and make our reads and plays off of that. You know, if we don't probably continue to do a better job of managing the puck, we might have to simplify it and go back and more wrap pucks and chip pucks. But then you're always chasing it. You don't have possession. And, you know, that's not the style we want to play. So I thought he went in and did a pretty good job. He's a very good skater, and you notice that. And, you know, I think some other guys can take a lesson from that to go back and use your feet to escape trouble and get ourselves out of some tough situations.
Okay, we're going to take our first break tonight. We're about 15 minutes into the show. It doesn't take long to go through this program every week, and we'll come right back to the Antlers with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers, our second segment of the show tonight. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten tonight. And Damon, a tough weekend. We take 2-3-2 setbacks at the hands of Arizona State. Probably is it's a good thing it's non-conference. It doesn't hurt you in the league standings that way, but it's still kind of bothersome when you lose to a team that's come out of the club-level status, even though they're ACHC champions. They're a good team. They're a good program. I thought they were a really good skating team that had some great individual talent and tremendous goaltending. That's how we describe them all weekend. But you still hope you're going to win, especially on your home ice, at least get a split with them.
Well, even if it's North Dakota, you still hope you win. So yeah, yeah. I don't think the opponent, you know, has much to say on that. I mean, it's, you know, we all have pride in what the way we want to play and what we want to accomplish here and our goals. As you mentioned, you know, the WCHA is still ahead of us, and you know, getting back into play, that becomes more important. But you know, I thought certainly Pashevitz was a major factor. You know, he played extremely well. I like the pace their team plays with. I thought their forward group in particular skates pretty well. You know, Lappin was a big score in the USHL. Masters was a big score in the BCHL. So they have some good players. And but you know, regardless of who it is, you want to win, and certainly you know, you want to. A program like that that's just starting, like you said, you know, we're a young team and we've got a young guys, but certainly they do as many, if not more. So that makes it, I guess, more disappointing in some ways. But, you know, I don't care who we're playing. Detroit Red Wings come in here, you want to win.
Yeah, and it's difficult, too. You wonder at this point if the losing gets to be a little bit burdensome to the players, too. I know they don't like to lose. A lot of these freshmen come from winning programs, winning teams, had great seasons their last year of junior, so it's difficult for them to come in here and lose these games like this, but it's still early in the season too, and we've got some big road trips coming up as well as a big home series in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, you know, I think we have good leadership, and I think the guys are together. Certainly, you know, nobody likes where you're at and what's going on. I think at the same time as you know, you're talking about the young guys in particular, you know, they were recruited kind of knowing where we're at and what we're trying to do with this program and what direction we're headed. And, you know, the process that's in front of us and the plan we have in place. So, you know, and if you look around the preseason polls, you know, they had us picked in an area, you know, we're still building. We're still trying to get some things in place. So, you know, it's a work in progress for sure, but our team is fine. You know, we're still right in it. We're still a team and we're still working that way. And like I said, I think we knew the challenge ahead of us. I don't think you step from where we were at in the past, right to a number one. And, you know, occasionally it can happen with some things in place, but we're a work in progress for sure, and that's a setback, and now it's just about moving forward.
Any news on the NLI front? It's that time of year when you can sign NLIs. Can we announce anything? Has anybody got one back yet that's signed? Do you expect to get a couple of those here this month?
Yeah, we do. We'll have we have one in hand already. We'll probably, you know, get an announcement out, if not late this week, early next week. We should have a second one by today or tomorrow. I think people follow it know that some of our guys were deferred a year, so there's quite a few. I guess I always want to be careful because I forget who does. You know, Basilico, Humet, Sackman, they're out there playing, who signed a year ago. You know, but a couple of the guys that have got theirs in already. One guy has theirs in. The second one should be in today or tomorrow. And then we got, you know, one or two that we're trying to use this early signing period to maybe make a quick decision as well. So You know, not a ton of news, as you mentioned. There's not a whole lot we need, but I think as you move forward and as you play and as you go some of this, you certainly learn more about your team. You know, areas where you think you might be okay, you might, you know, reevaluate and say, hey, you know, this is not where we need to be, and we better make sure we know what's out there and talk to some kids and, you know, explore the options in some of those areas. So you reevaluate consistently, and I think after the last couple of weeks, we have reevaluated, and we're going to kind of pursue some other you know, opportunities or some players to look at that we think can then help us get to where we need to be.
Yeah, I think at this point too, it's everybody in college hockey now looks at futures. They're looking at young guys who might come in here 2-3 years down the line, and you can approach them, you can have them visit, you can talk to them. You can't talk about them, you can't use their names, but everybody's into that right now.
Oh yeah, yeah. We had a young guy in this weekend for Saturday's game, and you know, once again, when we get people in this community, the hockey passion, the facilities, you know, they get the campus, a beautiful campus. So we had a really good visit. And, you know, we were in a time frame with him where we weren't going to push really hard. But with the signing period, you know, he might just jump and get it done now as well. So we'll kind of look at that a little bit. But, yeah, you're always out there. You know, Rich Mitchell's done a lot of midget hockey already this season, and that's because we're so young that those 99s, those 2000s start to replace this that big sophomore D class, the young freshman class. So you're always projecting out there a little bit, and you know, it's nice in some ways. You can be really particular, you can really go after some elite players and try to, you know, win some big time recruiting battles, because we are, you know, looking out and projecting out a little bit and able to be you know, aggressive and build relationships with those players.
We have six seniors on this team. We'll be leaving via graduation at the end of the season. You got Austin McKay, Zach Lesh, Bryce Schmidt, Pete Spratty, Daniel Vernacci, and Eric Drapluck. And, you know, that's, what, a couple of D there and four forwards. We should be in pretty good shape all the way around if we didn't bring anybody in. But we know we've already got three or four who are signed up for next year. Is there a particular need at this point that you've identified that you'd maybe like to add another player here or there?
Well, I think it's probably fairly obvious. You know, we need to score more goals. And, you know, like you said, we have a couple guys that we feel like are sitting there maybe a little bit snake bitten, or, you know, can get off the schneid there a little bit. But I think it continues to be an issue we want to address. There's not a lot of 19 or 20 year old pure goal scorers sitting out there available this time. They've been committed for 3-4 years, a lot of them. So, you know, so yeah, you're definitely going through the leagues and checking with your contacts. In today's college world, you know, some of it's not the worst thing in the world to have money available late. And when that school decommits or pushes their guys back, then you can kind of let them know you have some scholarship money available and progress that way. That happens more and more. And, you know, it's hard. I got a call today on a kid who's a pretty good player. It's from an advisor. He's been committed for 4 years. 4 years he's been committed, and now the school all of a sudden, well, you know, this or that or whatever. And so he's like, you know, what do you think? And first of all, you know, he's like, yeah, he's committed. If he wants to decommit, we'll have that conversation. But that's 4 years of evaluations you really don't have on the kid. You know, you go to a game, he's committed to whatever school, you're not really going to spend that much time watching him closely and evaluate. But, you know, that's the nature, and some of the schools are, you know, have a little bit of a reputation for doing that. But it's tough to say, you know, what you really think about him, because you're going back to midget minor hockey when he was last uncommitted, and you've really tried to watch him and focus. So, but that's out there a little bit. So having some money available late is not a bad situation to be in.
Yeah, recruiting is a big part of college hockey, obviously, and it can be a real headache. And I think Rich Mitro and Pete Spratty did a tremendous job last year for this team. And I'm sure Doug Holliva is doing a good job. He's used to recruiting a little bit with the Marine Corps where he was, but I think we're going to be just fine here. We'll pick up good players in the future. I think we've got good players now. We just need to find the net a little bit more.
Man, learn how to win. You know, it's a culture, it's a process, you know, and then that's part of how it is, you know, learning how to close out games, learning how to separate teams in games. You know, you can't let teams hang around by one goal or a tie game. You've got to keep your foot on the pedal and finish. But I agree. I think, you know, Rich has done a tremendous job. You know, his passion, energy to build relationships is phenomenal. And, you know, I think we've won some recruiting battles against some schools that I'm not sure typically, you know, we've done here. And that's very positive and speaks a lot to his ability to do that. You slip of the tongue, you said Pete Spratty, but obviously Pete Aubrey, you know, did a very good job for us in his time. And as you mentioned, you know, Doug's a hound dog. He's out again. He's working, and you know, he jumps right in. He's got a ton of passion, ton of energy, and he's a tireless worker. So he's doing a tremendous job as well. And you know, it'll take a little time for him to get some guys here because we don't have a lot of room. But you know, they do a tremendous job, and you know, really excited and pleased with the job they've done. And again, you know, we like the direction we're headed in. We don't like our record today, but as you see, and I think as a lot of people see, there's some good things in place, and we're no different. We want results, you know, this weekend and tomorrow, and it's very difficult to be patient and to you know, to handle a little bit, but you need to move forward and continue to build.
Yeah, I think sometimes you get impatient too. You forget a lot of these guys are first year players. Even a guy like JT Henke is in his first year at Lake Superior State. He's learning who all the guys are that he wants to play with. You know, it takes a little bit of time to do this sort of thing. A big step in the right direction on Saturday night. We got goals out of Diego Cuglietta and Gus Coriale. We've been waiting for Gus to score because he can do that. He's got a great shot, great release, but hasn't been able to score a goal. And Cuglietta gets one, maybe they'll come a little bit easier. Now, I still think that's going to happen with Anthony Nellis, too.
Yeah, well, you know, and then part of that was, you know, our special teams, I thought, overall, were very good. You know, we gave up one goal on the penalty kill. Again, it wasn't a structural thing. We had a defenseman, you know, pivoted the wrong way and got beat. But power play, what were we, 2 for 6, 2 for 5, whatever, 4 power play goals on the weekend. I mean, you know, really good job by on both sides, by Doug and Rich on the special teams game. Our penalty kill, I thought, over the last few weeks has been really, really good. We gave up one the previous weekend, again, more of an isolated breakdown of an individual player, but the power play has been going as well. You know, now we've got to get the 5-on-5 scoring to kick in as well. But you know, a lot of weekends, if you win special teams battle, you're coming out on top. And you know, we've got to flip that to the right side. And conversely, the area that really killed us on Friday night was faceoff. Faceoffs in our own zone, we won both draws and ended up turning pucks over. They scored 2 faceoff goals against us on Friday, again off of 1 draws. And we're doing a much better job. I think Mitch Holtz was at 63% on the weekend on his faceoffs. Doing a tremendous job on that, and he won one of them. And you know, we have a turnover; we don't manage the puck, and you know, that's difficult. There's no way we should be getting up faceoff goals like that.
Okay, we're going to take our second break tonight. We've got some questions from the fans who are with us here at the Antlers tonight, and we'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers, our third segment of the program tonight. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers. And Damon, we'll get into these questions. We have 3 of them from our fans who are here tonight. And, you know, you can tell it's hunting season right now because we're missing some people who are normally here. But some good ones here. Do you plan on changing defense pairings for this coming weekend at Bemidji? Any pairings that you wouldn't change at this point? Yeah, I guess that's talking defense there too.
Particularly, you know what? I think everything's on the table. I mean, when you're not having the success, you always look. And we flipped them from Bowling Green even to coming here. And you know, there's been a couple individuals we've had out based on performance. And you know, and that didn't change. You know, we had a change from Friday to Saturday as well. And you know, we met, they watch film every weekend of their shifts together with the coach, and Doug usually runs it, but he's out of town, so I did it today with them. And we need all 6D playing well together. You know, we can't have 2 or 3 playing well and 1 or 2 having a really off night, and that's kind of been the way it's been lately. You know, we've had 1 or 2 off per night and costing us some goals and been difficult. So we need to get that unit playing together well. You know, I think early on most of them play together. Obviously a freshman, Owen played every game. Matt played some games, so we've got a new face and new freshman. But you know, we thought the group would be a little bit ahead of where it is based on last year's experience and what we returned. And so with that's an area we need to get cleaned up and playing better. You know, there's been some changes to our structure and style of play, and so that's been an adjustment for them. But that group needs to be played better, and everything's on the table to see who plays together, and we'll evaluate that throughout the week.
Yeah, you look at that every day in practice, and I get to enough practices to see what's going on there. You and the other coaches have a chance to have a say at the end, okay? And it's a big deal. We're coming up this Wednesday night. There are going to be 22 guys get on a sleeper bus and go to Bemidji, and it all depends on how you play Monday, Tuesday, and maybe the Wednesday practice.
Yeah, it makes it a little tougher, you know, a little quicker decision. You usually get an extra day or, you know, a night to sleep on it and make a decision. But, you know, post-practice Wednesday, you know, either right on the ice, or we'll take 10 or 15 minutes to announce the lineup and make those final decisions. But those evals come quick. And, you know, certainly, you know, we've watched the film back multiple times already from this past weekend. And then, like you mentioned, we'll evaluate practice every single day. You know, we're still waiting for some guys to get the clearance from medical to join us out there and see if they're in the mix or not. But when a short week, you know, that makes it tougher too. You miss a day or two of practice. Tough to say you're going to, you know, compete one day and then make that trip. So, it's tough back there. It's competitive, and we need that group to take a step.
Okay, our next comment, it's not really a question, it's a comment that this fan thinks he'd rather see shots off the goal post and the crossbar than right at the goalie, which I guess is an indication that in the past we've had a habit of shooting the puck right at the goaltender. I think we still do that too often, but I agree with that. I think if you're trying to pick corners and trying to go high on goaltenders, you're going to hit the bar and you're going to hit the post.
Yeah, you know, and it's a fine line. I mean, there's definitely times to have that poise and that skill and, you know, to be able to execute. There's also some times where, you know, you've got to get away from it and you got to put a quality shot to the net, create a rebound or whatever. You know, goaltending today is so structured, so good. So it's about knowing those opportunities and when to do it. You know, I think it's kind of like the entry plays where you try to beat a goalie high. Like, you know, you're not beating a goalie in today's game from wide or from high. Certainly when you're in tight or, you know, you make a play coming in, you want to use that skill and that ability to do that. And, you know, I'm still blown away by the Huntsville weekend, the ring seven off on the weekend and not get one. And then, you know, you think at some point it's got to change, and then Gage Terrell rings one off and Holtz had another one. So, you know, at some point those bounces go the other way. They tend to even out over the course of the season. So hopefully we get them back in bunches moving forward.
Okay, another question here. When and why do you dump the puck and chase? And then, when do you and why do you skate the puck up the ice and into the zone? When is that decision made? That's part of reading.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly a skill and a talent, hockey IQ. You know, through our small area games, through our practice planning, you know, we hope to teach our players when to make that good decision. You know, if you have a numbers advantage or a speed advantage, green light. You know, use your skill, use your talent to make a play. But if you look up and they have numbers back, or maybe you're flat-footed, you know, you should be a smart enough hockey player to make the proper decision that puck's got to get behind their D. So, you know, we do try to, you know, advocate to play with a skill game and a speed game, and we want to maintain puck possession and not be chasing all night. But like the question alludes to, or you alluded to, Bill, you've got to know when to make the decisions, and we have to teach players when to make those decisions, and that's pretty constant feedback on the bench. You know, somebody makes a good decision to make a chip and put it behind the D, we're usually pretty quick to give them immediate feedback saying, hey, that's the right time to do that. Somebody, you know, tries to use their skill or speed, or we have numbers, we're also quick to say, hey, that's the right play. You know, that's a chance to make a play.
You know, the power play has been pretty decent this season. I think the Lakers are clicking at about 14.4% on the power play, which is not bad. That's certainly
improved.
Far better than it was last year at this time. Our penalty kill's 84.5%. We're going to go up against a team this weekend at Bemidji that's clicking right now at 27% on the power play. Almost all their goals have come with the odd man advantage, and they're killing penalties really well at 87%. Those are really good statistics. I don't think we want to take too many penalties this weekend. But I noticed on the past weekend that when we have the power play, we have some high-skilled players out there. Sometimes I think that we're too high-skilled because we pass the puck when we should shoot and we don't take advantage of good things. Like JT Hinkie, to me, I don't know if he thinks he's being a puck hog or he just loves to set people up or what, but he passes up great shots to try to make a pass to somebody else who's may or may not be open.
Well, it sounds like you were in the office with Coach Mitro this morning, you know, and the play in particular you're talking about, he was dialing right in from a grade A scoring area. He had Diego net front with a stick available and, you know, gave up a grade A to make a wide pass, you know. And, you know, JT does think of himself as a pass-first player, but, you know.
And he's a good one.
Well, yeah, he is. He is a very good passer, but he's also a very good shooter, and he can score. And but, you know, I mean, no question. You know, I think that's part of the youth. And part of what we're trying to drive in is let's not pass up good scoring chances for the perfect pass. So we do have to simplify it at times. And I think the, you know, Diego's goal was a perfect example of it. You know, it was off of one faceoff. They pressured two, three guys out. We made two, three good passes. Owen Hedrick made a great play to bypass their pressure, got it down to net front where we had a two-on-one. Diego had taken the goalie's eyes away and picked up the rebound and then just deposited in the back of the net. So, You know, it is nice to have that passing ability and the chance to make some plays, but you've got to make the right decision in those times, and we do need to simplify and get more pucks to the net.
Yeah, and we need to crash that net hard. We've got some big people who should be able to do that. I'm looking at maybe Goldke and Hand and McKay and Lesh when he's in there. Zach Lesh is another guy with a great shot, but it seems like it takes him quite a bit of time to get it off.
Yeah, you know, his goal, his first goal there at Bowling Green was a great release. He didn't overhandle it. He didn't kind of grip it. And, you know, and he grabs us all the time. He's saying, why can't I score in a game? I score in practice. You come there and he just shoots lasers. He's got a great release, great shot. But, you know, in the game, he kind of clutches a little bit. So he's still trying to get comfortable as a converted D-man up there. You know, but, yeah, I mean, it's obviously important. There's not a lot of space and time out there. And so you better be able to get the puck off your stick quickly in order to have a chance to score some goals.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed, too, and being around these guys all this season and interviewing them for Get to Know Your Lakers, where we're talking mainly to freshmen right now, there's a lot of camaraderie here. You mentioned it earlier in the show tonight. There's good leadership. I think McKay and Drapluck and Bryce Schmidt and some of the other older guys, maybe Johnson and Gus and people like this who've been around, they're real good with these young guys. There's no hazing. There's no fooling around. There's no goofing off here. These guys get along pretty well. And most of the first-year players, whether it be a Hanky or the freshman, really like it here right now. They've all expressed that, and I can kind of see that in how they get along when they're not on the ice.
Well, you know, not reflecting the record, you know, for sure, but as you mentioned, our seniors in particular and our upperclassmen overall, you know, they deserve a tremendous amount of, you know, appreciation for the job they've done. Like, the culture has changed so drastically. And I don't know all the details of the past of why it's happened, but it seems like over the course of, you know, quite a few years, there's been a separation between classes, that the older guys, you know, just built the wall a little bit or wanted to treat the guys differently. And, you know, for me, in a program and a family and a hockey team, you can't have that. We're one. We beat as one heart, and we've got to be all together. So, they've completely erased that in one season and in one summer, I guess, is probably a better way to put it. And, you know, we've got obviously that's part of the reason why, you crave that success so people can continue to buy in and believe in what we're doing. And, you know, that always makes you aware as a coach when you don't have that. But they deserve tremendous kudos for the job they've done in that locker room.
Yeah, a couple other guys who don't play much, and it's got to be really, really difficult for Daniel Vernacci right now. He's a senior. He doesn't get in the lineup that much, but he comes and works hard every day, and he's got a good attitude too. I've watched how he relates to the other players and how he talks to guys. I think he's looks at himself as a leadership person. And another one is your third goaltender. It's always tough if you're the third goalie. Aaron Davis works as hard as anybody. He's out there every day taking pucks, taking shots, working with everybody else. Don't get in the lineup. It's really difficult, but it's very, very good that those guys stick it out and that they play that leadership role.
Yeah, and they're part of the team for sure. You know, Aaron, I think, is a little bit easier probably because, you know, I didn't recruit this guy, so I'm not sure all the conversations. But, you know, I think when you're recruited in that role, you have a pretty good idea. You certainly always hope and drive to expand your role and get a start and to play. But it's a little bit easier to handle. Now, hey, it's not an easy role, and I think it's one of the most important roles on our team, and he does a great job at it, and we appreciate that. We try to tell him all the time of, you know, what a good job he does. He gets a lot of nasty assignments. You know, guys want to shoot hard or work on one-timers. You know, Davey gets in there and has to face that. So, you know, we appreciate his role on the team. You know, I think Dan's a little bit harder. You know, as a forward, like you said, everybody wants to play, and you know, everybody works so hard for it. And again, I don't know how he was recruited or what, you know, what he was told when he was recruited, but you know, you give him a lot of credit. We had a conversation last week where we're trying to find roles for Dan to be successful in and to help this team in. And you know, I think life lesson wise for Dan, you know, if any employee ever calls us on Dan's behalf, you know, we can talk about how he's the ultimate team player. You know, he does anything for the team. He puts the team first, and so he'll make a great employee in an organization one day, and you know, in a great person. Our team loves him. He's well respected, and he's a big piece of what we do, even though he doesn't get to show it always on Friday or Saturday night, unfortunately.
All right, we're going to take a break, our final one in the show this afternoon or this evening from the Antlers. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show tonight at the Antlers, and we want to thank all our sponsors. We've got a tremendous number of sponsors on this show this year, and don't forget our show that comes up on Wednesday morning at 8:30. that Damon and I will put together, and we'll be talking mostly about Bemidji there and getting ready to play against the Beavers this weekend on the road. Let's talk a little bit about them. They've got a pretty good hockey team. They're underachieving at this point. They're not real happy with what they've been doing. I think they're losing far more games than they want to at this point, but they'll be tough. They're 1-4-1 in league play, so they've played four more games in the WCHA than we have. And they're 2-5-2 overall, but they did win 6-3 against a pretty good Alaska team on Saturday night.
Yeah, you know, and an angry Beaver team is not the most enjoyable environment, you know, going into there and playing them. So they play with pace, you know. They really challenge you because of the pace they play with. They recruit a good skating team. You know, they underhandle pucks all over the ice to try to set up some foot races. And so we'll have to, you know, our puck management really has to take a step in order to offset that. Excuse me. I mentioned Michael Bitzer earlier. I think he's an outstanding goalie. His numbers this year probably don't reflect the year he had last year. Was he a rookie of the year last year in the league?
Yes.
So I think, you know, he had a lot of accolades last year in his play. You know, and again, he's probably looking to regain his form a little bit. So.
Sophomores. They always struggle.
Yeah, that's right. The sophomore slump, the dreaded sophomore slump. So he's dealing with that. But, you know, they started off well. They had the tie versus Duluth. Or, I'm sorry, the win versus Duluth, the tie versus North Dakota. And then they fell in a little bit of a lull there for sure. So, you know, they're a good team. They got a couple, you know, Fitzgerald. They got the Fitzgerald triplets, a little bit unique there. Probably makes your night a little bit tough up there, Bill. And I'm not sure. I think Miles hasn't played all the games, but Jerry and Leo do. They were a dynamic scoring trio, I guess, out in the BCHL when they played their junior hockey. Corey Ward is a guy that we recruited when I was at Michigan Tech. He's a good player. He's a senior now. So, and then Brendan Harms coming off that award and, you know, was a big scorer in the USHL as well. So they do have some ability to score some goals and create some offense. As you mentioned, you know, fans back home watching or listening will be able to tell a lot if we're able to put our plan in place because we want to play 5-on-5. You know, you look at the special teams they have. We've got to stay out of the penalty box. We want to play them 5-on-5.
Yeah, they're going to be tough if they get on the power play. As we say, 27%. That's really good on the power play. Anybody'd love to have that. And killing at 87%, so they're pretty good with special teams play. I've always had a lot of respect for their head coach. I think Tom Ceratori, he's been there, it seems like, forever. And he does a good job. He's a nice, nice guy, but he'll step on your throat if you let him.
Oh, no question, you know, and sounds like a real nice guy, right? No, but he is. He's a good. You know, I was at Wayne State. I don't even know how many years ago now, but a long, long time ago. And we were CHA foes there. Got to know him extremely well. He finally lost an assistant just a year or two ago. But boy, he's had staff continuity up in Bemidji, which you know is really remarkable. But Teddy Belisle, I've been up there a long, long time there with him. I know Teddy quite well. And then Bert Gilling took a job just a year or two ago. But he had those guys for like 9 years, 11 years, and just. I think it's, you know, so important if you can retain your assistant coaches and build that so you're on the same page and even to create new roles for them to keep them invested and growing and learning. But I think that was a big piece of their success, and they were a very good team back then. Obviously, the transition to WCHA, you know, they took the lumps a little bit early on, and then they found their footing. So they're a good team, and he's done a great job there for a long, long time.
No, I'm not sure who all's banged up for the Lakers right now, but on the weekend you used lines that had we had Kuglietta, Hanke, and Nellis. We had Terrell with Holtz in the middle and Hand, and Nenadol, Corielli, and Hayes. And then Saturday night it was Bryce Schmidt between the two big guys, Austin McKay and Globke. I don't know for sure who's making this trip, but it's a different kind of trip because it's so long. It's an overnight trip. You take a sleeper bus. This will be new stuff for our first year players, I guess, but it's a long way out to Bemidji, and you got to be ready the next morning to practice and get ready to play.
Well, when you figure out who's traveling, let me know.
Yeah.
We're in the same boat there a little bit. You know, we had five guys that couldn't practice today, so you know we'll see there medically, and one or two were more maintenance things, but one or two are a little bit more you know, conflicting with the weekend potentially. So yeah, you know, but it's not a bad way to travel. You know, we report about 10 o'clock, jump on, and you watch a little bit of NHL hockey, and then you go to bed, and you wake up, you're out there. So I didn't think last year it was too difficult a way. I'm sure the guys coming out of junior hockey are probably going to enjoy it instead of riding a normal coach bus for a lot of them. I know Josh Nenendahl in Youngstown, you know, they had just brutal, brutal travel there, and they had a nice sleeper bus that the team owned, so he's used to it a little bit. It's not too bad. You get out there Thursday, and we'll practice earlier in the day instead of our 6 p.m. time, and you know, try to get the bus legs out and have a heavy skate there. And, you know, and then try to find some ways to kill that evening time and not just be sitting around the hotel. So it is a long trip. It's a beautiful facility, you know, 2-3 years old there at the Sanford Center. And it's a real nice college environment. So we'll be fired up. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we feel good about our road game coming out of that Bowling Green series and you know, down to East Lansing. So we've got to take that same positive mindset and go out to Bemidji and get some WCHA points on the board.
Yeah, Sanford Center is great. You know, once you get to Bemidji, you love it there. It's a nice little town right on Lake Bemidji. Getting there is a little bit the different story. You get to Duluth, you got about 3.5 hours of two-lane highway up through the trees and the woods, and it's like driving from St. Ignace to Sioux, sort of, except it's not four-lane, it's two-lane, and all of a sudden you're in Bemidji. But they have great facilities there, and it's a really nice place to be and to play. Not so nice when you got to come out of there after the game on Saturday night and drive all the way back, but we'll hope we have good weather. It's been great so far this fall. Last year on this date, we had, 2 feet of snow on the ground here in the Sioux, and this has been fantastic.
Well, so no question.
We'll hope we're not going to have any weather problems going there, and our other long trip doesn't come up till we go to Mankato, and I think that's in January, so we'll hope that one works out as well. But a couple sleeper bus trips here for these guys, they'll be fine with that.
Well, you know, and we've been looking this first half, you know, similar to last year. You know, we don't have a bye week the first half, and we've got this Bemidji trip. We still have got Fairbanks coming up, you know, obviously early in the year in Portland. So it's not been too bad. I think we're still pretty fresh. For the most part, we've continued with our AM lift groups run by Tyler, our strength and conditioning coach. You know, we've tweaked that a couple times coming off the road. You know, certainly coming off the Midgey and the sleeper bus and Fairbanks, we got to look to work in a couple off days. We did that last week, and you wonder, you know, how that affects guys. But, you know, they do need a chance to stay on top of their academics and just to flush the system for a day. To stay out of the rink and to stay away is, I think, really healthy for them mentally. And we'll look to work a couple days like that in as we kind of grind through this first half.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see who's on the ice on Friday night. We'll find out when we get out there on Thursday night. And, Damon, thanks for being here again doing this show. Thanks to all the fans who are here with us tonight. We got to get out of here a little bit early tonight, but good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, coming out and everybody's support. And we'll listen to everybody from Bemidji.
All righty. We'll be there. Pat O'Neill and I will be driving out on Thursday. And we'll have the games for you on Yes FM. Don't forget Central Time start there, so it'll be about 8 o'clock, 8:05, somewhere in that area, both nights on WYSS. And for everybody here tonight, Bill Crawford for Carl and Frank back at the station running the dials there, saying so long from the Laker Hockey Show till next Monday night on ESPN 1400.